Hey, you got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio, and we're talking to the last of our hatchlings, Dave Lachlan, who, again, is not 18 years old, but...
Thank you.
Yeah.
24.
So, first of all, this is not Dave O'Lachlan, who's a teacher at the school.
Yeah.
This is Dave Lachlan, who is a local architect. Is that ever an issue?
It has been, yeah. I've had quite a bit of mail for Dave O'Lachlan, and quite a bit of confusion, some parcels delivered, and...
Okay. Yeah, I could see that happening. So you're an architect, you're a practicing architect, but we're here to talk about photography and not modern photography at all. What do you call what you do?
It's the very earliest form of photography, which was invented in 1851, and it's called the wet plate process.
Yeah,
and so it's a really slow process and involves collodion and silver. And the wet plate is the glass, normally shot onto glass, and the glass dries out after 15 minutes. So you've really got to think about what you're going to shoot, focus your camera first, get your wet plate glass out of the dark room, and then slot it into the camera and expose it for 8 to 30 seconds, and then bring it back to the dark room. So in that 15-minute period, if it dries out, you won't get an image. So it's... it's kind of interesting, and it's slow.
It's not an Instamatic.
No.
Is the camera something that should be in a museum, or would you expect to see it in a museum?
Oh, they are in museums, yeah.
It's
actually a really amazing, beautiful piece of craft. Like, it's mahogany and brass, the camera. And I was gifted the camera in February this year. So I put a Facebook post on a Waikato Photography Society Facebook group and said, has anybody got one they're thinking about selling? And a lady popped up in Potararu and said, I've got one, and belonged to her grandfather, and there's a guy from Te Awamutu that was a portrait photographer there during the early 1910s, 1920s. And so shot down there and picked it up, and I was just amazed that it came with a tripod and three lenses, and she said the only conditions to it were that I had to use it and I wasn't allowed to sell it, so perhaps I could gift it to somebody else in the future.
Right, so and she didn't want a collector kind of...
No, or somebody selling it on.
Someone who thought they could make a buck.
But it created another issue for me, because I didn't know how to use it. So,
I guess you find out online. You're not going to find out by asking your neighbour.
But I think I was attracted to the images of them. There's something sort of quite ethereal about the way the images looked, like quite ghostly. And if you looked at some of the images from the turn of the century, or the turn of the 20th century, they're quite sort of ghostly and interesting, I think. And so I was attracted to that to start with, and then found out more about what cameras they were using, and then I ended up doing I bumped into Adrian, who did the tintypes at the Raglan Creative Market.
Oh, yeah, he's from Te Araha.
Yeah, Adrian Cook.
Yeah, I interviewed him earlier in the year.
Yeah, and he was super helpful, and he suggested I brought my camera into him and we could have a look at it. And he said, "Yeah, it's going to work, but you're going to have to go down to Carterton to see this guy called Brian Scadden." And I thought, oh, gee, that's a bit of an effort. But part of my architecture work, I actually picked up a new project in Wellington this year. So it was a nice excuse to go to Carterton as well. So I spent a day on a workshop with this guy, Brian. And Brian's been using the process, or working with it, for about 40 years. And he's Film Unit New Zealand. So he's worked on Lord of the Rings, and he's a bit of a global guru in wet plate process.
So we're lucky to have, we might be lucky to have anyone in this country who knows about it, really.
Yeah. I think Brian says there's about 7 or 8 people using the process, including Adrian.
Yeah.
And there's a few others. Yeah.
Wow. So maybe talk us through when you go to take a photo. All the things you have, all the steps you have to take to make it work and to avoid it being a write-off.
So setting up the camera on a tripod, and it, is really susceptible to wind as well. So if something's moving, because you've got a long exposure, like the lens open. So if at the moment I've been photographing our garden because it's immediate and quite good to experiment with. But if like if a leaf moves or the branch moves in the wind, the whole shot's blurred. So so need still weather conditions. And so I've been with the weather we had over September, October, all the wind and rain. So it was just horrendous. I sort of almost gave up. But it, I set up some – I got some studio lights I've borrowed and set up with some really strong lights inside. And so quite a few of my shots over September were indoors.
Yeah.
So you're setting up the camera and focusing. So focus is a really big issue. So trying to get – choosing your subject and composition – and when you're looking at the camera, you're seeing the image upside down and back to front.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a head game with it, what you're actually looking at sometimes.
Yeah, composing the photo must be...
Yeah.
Do you find you're trying to tip yourself upside down?
A little bit. Yeah, I think I've got quite used to looking at it upside down. But actually, stepping back again, like I'm often thinking like the night before, what am I going to try and take a shot of? So it's quite different from digital where...
Yeah, the terrible thing with digital, like I used to take film, and then with digital, you can very quickly get in the habit of just going bang, 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 and one of those will work.
Yeah.
So composition almost doesn't... There's no planning at all. It's just like shooting hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, it's been a super interesting learning curve for me, thinking about all those things, and then also trying to bring some meaning into it. Like, what are you actually... taking shots of, because the effort that goes into it, you want to I'm trying to think about meaning and place, and
it's not a casual
activity.
And it does have the hood at the back, like the cloth
that you so a dark cloth or a focusing cloth it's called, and is it
fully, like I presume light can bounce up off the ground
to get
in there, so it's not fully dark.
Not fully dark. That the one I've got sort of comes down to sort of my waist, but the light comes up from underneath. And
so you're in under there, and how's your eyesight? Like I have to have things a fair way away from my face these days.
Yeah, I'm lucky at the moment. My eyesight's pretty good, but there's a thing I haven't yet got, which is called a loupe, which is like a little brass mini telescope that you can focus on, so it magnifies what you're looking at by 5 times when it's held against the back of the camera. So it's a real Victorian or older sort of solution. Process.
And also you said something about blue light. It does something blue light, because there's a photo on your Instagram of you and your eyes are blue and they just look really
Yeah, quite creepy.
Okay, let's go with creepy. That's a good word.
So the collodion, the chemical, is actually really reactive to UV light. And so things like blue sky and the sea they just come out completely white. And so anything that's like blue eyes, blue clothing, comes out white. And that's that reaction to... the light spectrum and UV light as well, the combination.
Right, so we've got, there's a couple of pictures here. One is taken with a conventional modern camera, I guess.
Yeah.
And the other with the old camera, and it's of the water and the sky, and it's mostly white.
Yeah.
With a few rushes. Are those rushes in it? Okay, so and how architecture is its own artistic component as well, as being, there's practical stuff that goes on. But is there any crossover there for you, do you find?
Oh, definitely. It was unexpected for me. I've just enjoyed the photography as a bit of a sideline, but actually I've found since February that it's feeding back into my work with space and light and composition, and probably thinking more about what's the effect of placing a window beautifully in a space and afternoon light, and actually, trying to think of meaning in the photography, and also meaning in the architecture, like, it's sight or the materials, and probably more tactile materials are coming through in my architecture.
Is part of that just the slowing down process that you're forced to
Yeah, I'd say it's something like that, yeah.
Can you afford to slow down when you're on the clock as an architect?
Yeah, yeah. I think for me, I really, that's what I'm striving for, like rather than fast architecture. I mean, I think things that are, because it's such a permanent thing, building and architecture, and it's there for 50 to 100 years, and having something that's there, you know, as a, not as a legacy, but it, for other people to enjoy.
Yeah.
Longer term rather than just a quick something. So
you never know, if you're lucky it might last as long as your camera.
Yeah, yeah.
like you were saying, 150 years.
Yeah, yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Like if other things could last that long, it'd be great.
Yeah, so you have been out in the field with the camera. I mean, just how much work is that?
Yeah, quite a lot of work. So I've got a camper van, and I've set up the back lower part of that as a mobile dark room, and so I've got a little suitcase that folds up, which I keep the developing trays, and I've got another dark hood that I put over myself, and that's quite a bit of work. But so you carry all the chemicals with you, and had an interesting experience about a month ago. I was down in Cape Palliser, and it was super windy. I set the camera up on the tripod, and it immediately blew over. So it was about sort of 45, 50 knots, and I had it sheltered.
Were you worried it's going to break when that happens?
Yeah, I did. And I actually lost a couple of brass screws and stuff, and I was looking all over the ground. And but it's, I think in the right conditions, my plan is to travel a bit more with the camera locally and then try out some landscapes locally, like, you know, sort of trees and old buildings. I think it's kind of got a neat sort of relationship with old buildings and older landscapes, you know, of the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is this, with the Hatch exhibition, is this the first time you've exhibited
the
photography?
Yeah, yeah. And I was kind of talked into it by a friend, Cass, and so she's another photographer who's also on the exhibition.
Yeah.
And we're friends, and she came around and sort of said, oh, you know, you should go in the Hatch. And I was quite reluctant to.
Yeah.
And so signed up, and so I think it's actually made a real impetus to actually produce something. I don't think I ever would have done what I've done.
Sharpened your mind to the task.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's brought the learning right forward as well for me. So,
And you're just talking about the importance of light in architecture. Mm. Are you harassing Caleb to get a good spot in the town hall?
Oh, I'm not too worried. I'm just really stoked to be there, and that, you know, kind of a bit nervous but a bit excited about it as well, the people that are potentially coming. And
I know that the opening last year, there were so many people in the town hall.
Yeah.
Like, it was really, really busy, and I'd come in and I'd help set something up, and then I went out and I came back when it was at its peak, and as I came up the steps you could hear the noise of the people just chatting.
Yeah,
but there were so many in there, and they'd all raised their volume level to hear each other, and it there was a lot of energy around it, so a lot of people will be coming to see you guys for sure.
It's super exciting. We're lucky, I think, to have the Hatch and Raglan Arts.
It's a great thing, isn't it?
So
folks, we've been talking to Dave Lachlan, not O. Lachlan, Lachlan, about this very old type of photography. How do people find you online if they want to have a look?
I've got an Instagram, which is David Creative Raglan.
So you skipped trying to get people to spell your name.
Yeah,
this is what that was.
Simple.
Excellent. So, David.creative.raglan.
Yeah,
brilliant. All right. Thank you for coming
in. Thanks, Sarah.